The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Sirius XM Channel 189. Ha ha! Got it that time.
Que pasa?
Today's the first day on 189. Still to come this hour, Joe Pita will join us momentarily, talk prediction markets with us. A little later on, JVT, talk college football, Paul Spohr, baseball. We love an ornery Paul Spohr, don't we?
Oh, God, I love it.
Paul Spohr, angry at the world. I love it.
2026 Paul Spohr has been the best on-air Paul Spohr since I've joined the show.
We get tweets beating the book. I love it. Chris Heath, does Kelly have a second job and 17 kids like Will Hill? Why hasn't he signed up for the contest yet? Starting to give me anxiety.
It's just right, because it's right behind us.
Great tweet, Chris. Excellent tweet.
Get off your high horse. You signed up 2 days ago. We're procrastinators.
I sure did.
It's right behind us. It will take me 7 minutes one day after work.
I just picture you as the guy at 10 a.m. on Sunday or the 10 a.m. of Sunday, opening Sunday.
Wait, what is the cutoff?
Maybe you should know. Maybe you should learn that before, before you get all arrogant about it.
Is it Wednesday?
No, because you got to let the two games play out. This is the Fezzik strategy.
Yeah, this is the Fezzik strategy.
But
it might be
Saturday.
Might be Saturday. Okay.
Wait, look, I predicted this. Kenny Dillingham Sexual. That is your real name. The Steelers are just not a bottom three AFC team. LOL. He's mocking me for that. Kelly had him bottom six, by the way. Then Jason Stark. I'm going to give you a pass today, Gil. I must admit, I'm quite concerned as well with the Steelers. Think McCarthy's a horrible choice for head coach. So there's a Steelers fan, Kelly Dillingham Sexual, countering you. Torch D, the one who put the satin in your panties, says, listening to Kelly talk about the Broncos versus the Texans removes all satin from my panties. I've been screaming this for 2 years. The Texans are simply the poor man's Broncos. Followed by TDG. The only pushback I'd have on your rankings is a Aaron Schatz philosophy that defense isn't as predictive year to year. See Broncos and Texans.
I think that's well said.
I love football. As soon as you even whisper one sentence, everybody jumps in, counter arguments.
Look, the other part of it, if you're talking something like win totals or something, right? Like, yeah, the Texans play in an easier division for sure. There's no doubt about that. Like, I'm not saying end of the regular season. Yeah, they can finish with a better record. Trust this team, though, as a stronger team entering the season.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's the author of the book Trading Bases. Also the author of several other books, including Joe Pita's Tour Guide to the Masters 2019. There's also the book that he wrote assessing financial portfolio managers, I should say. It was the Money Ball for the Money Set was the name of that one. And of course, he's coming off a great talk at Bet Bash where he talked about the evolution of the baseball betting market. It's the great Joe Pita, everybody. Joining us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at MagicRatSF, coming to us from San Francisco. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Gil. Good morning, Kelly.
Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it. I want to get into some of the stuff you talked about Bet Bash, because you gave a great sort of dissertation, among other things, about creating synthetic CLV, which I want to get into. But first, let's just talk about sort of the latest news with prediction markets. We have a couple companies, Novig, ProfitX, the latest, that have been mandated to switch their pricing. Explain that to us.
Yeah, they must, under CFTC regulations now, they must quote their contract prices in percentage terms, as opposed to American odds, which as sports bettors, we are all used to. That sort of aligns them with what Kalshi and Polymarket have done, sort of the leaders in the space. And the CFTC has mandated that. They had no choice for sports bettors that are certainly used to the language we normally speak. It's a bit of a difficult switch. I will say that I think while Novig improved on Kalshi, Profit has definitely improved on all of them and has the best setup for those of us who need that, you know, sort of Berlitz English to French translation. It's easiest to do on Profit, and it still preserves all of the price points that we are used to as, you know, bettors using American odds.
Do you think, Joe, that will ebb the tide of migration to prediction markets in any sort of significant way?
No. And I will tell you that when Novig announced first last week, there was all sorts of comments back to them, back to Jacob, their co-founder, and to the Novig account that I'm withdrawing my funds, never, you know, never betting here again. And I was like, really? You'll eschew better pricing, you know, for, you know, for, I don't know, for a moral high ground. But I watched very closely. Now, the thing about being regulated by the CFTC is you must report your results every day as a DCM. That's what these licenses are. It's a designated contract. What the M stands for is evading me right now, but might be marketplace. Anyway, they have to print every day what their activity is. Well, I've watched Novig's activity since that, you know, since the backlash from their supposed customer base. It's only grown since then. No noticeable backlash that I could see change in their business. So I think it's more inconvenient, but Gil, for sure. But I don't think it ultimately changes the long run.
I think that's probably a very fair answer to that. I want to get into some of the nuts and bolts, because there's a lot of people listening who are like, I only deal with traditional sports books, and I am interested in prediction markets, and we'll get into sort of a prediction market 101 here with Joe. But I would be remiss if I didn't sort of address some stuff going on. It's I don't know. I think it's sort of getting louder every day, the conflict between the regulated sportsbook operators and their qualms with prediction markets. Why don't, if you could explain, if you could sort of characterize what their stated criticisms are and address those, if you would.
Yeah, I could, Gil. We'd probably run through this segment. I should give an overview first, which is to say that the recent criticism, the recent news has come from Derek at Circa, Derek Stevens, and Jeffrey Benson last night. And, you know, my overview of both of them as professionals is that, you know, what Bugsy Siegel invented the Vegas hotel casino strip, what, 80 years ago? So 75 years later, it's a mature industry. So do you know how hard it is to be additive to a mature industry? And somehow Derek Stevens did it. He is additive to Vegas, right? He completely revitalized downtown. Fremont Street might be a ghost town without him. And my experience as an investor for 30 years on Wall Street and trader, et cetera, is I've always thought to be good at retail or hospitality, it has to be in your bones, your DNA. You cannot MBA your way to a successful hospitality or retail outlet. By the same token, customer service is in your blood, too. And I don't think there's a better employee in Nevada than Jeffrey Benson to be the public face and the customer service face of the sportsbook industry. All right. So that I hope that conveys my respect for them as professionals. That said, if you take Derek's, if you strip out the vitriol and the name calling, Derek's complaint basically is these prediction markets have figured out how to circumvent state licensing and federal excise taxes and all sorts of state transaction taxes. And as an incumbent, he's furious. I don't disagree with what he, you know, that fact, but I will say, my friend, that's innovation. And it's innovation that you embrace in exactly the same form that has occurred in other innovative areas of both your business and your life. And, you know, like Lyft and Uber, those business models, look, they're just taxi cab dispatchers, right? They're Louis De Palma in corporate form. But what they figured out was how to circumvent medallion cost, franchise fees, state and local transaction taxes. And obviously, those are additive to the Circa business model. Like, look at the Garage Mahal. Like, that is to make ride sharing as easy as possible. And yet those business, who were the complainers? The incumbent taxi drivers making the same argument that Derek does. Go back to Amazon. Amazon, you know, their whole thing was arbing out the collection of state and local taxes. Who complained, or sales taxes rather. Who complained? You know, who were throwing toys out of their crib? Walmart and Barnes & Noble making the exact same arguments. Heck, I think Circa accepts Bitcoin now for their contest fees. Well, the whole origin story of Bitcoin is to circumvent government intervention. So these arguments fall very hollow to me. They're just an incumbent complaining, and I think we should treat them the same way we treated the arguments from other incumbents when they're being disrupted. They love innovation when they're not being disrupted. And when they're being disrupted, they suddenly love government intervention and taxes as long as it protects their moat.
And I will sort of add this, which is my thought as you're talking, and I'm curious if you think this is fair. Also, those very same people, I'm guessing that if we gave them truth serum and they were betting in jurisdictions of prediction markets where you're getting much better pricing, I'm guessing they're betting with prediction markets, aren't they?
Well, they all love sports betting just as I do and you do. And if I did what they did as a market maker on Wall Street. I was a bookie, right? That's all I was. That's why I live in the house I live in, et cetera. But yes, that's what disappoints me about them embracing and like retweeting these complaints, because at their heart, they're sports bettors. And if they were sports bettors, they'd do the same thing we do, which is search out the best product.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get off this. We'll get to a little prediction market 101 on the other side. And also, Joe just gave a great talk at Bet Bash, and the crux of it was about creating a synthetic CLV at prediction markets. And I want Joe to go through how he does that. Let's get into that next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you missed our NFL futures draft, we made it really easy to catch up. Listen to this, Kelly. We took every pick from the show, put it into one free PDF.
Nice.
That's a file, by the way. I don't know if you know that. All you have to do is go to vsin.com/download, and you can grab your copy of all 130 plays listed out in order. Plus, we included a breakdown of all the picks by category. So if you want to get up to speed or you want a clean reference to come back to, go grab the free NFL Futures Draft PDF at vsin.com/download. That's vsin.com/download. There you go. Keyshawn Johnson was there. VSiN's own Nick Bakay and VSiN's own Keyshawn Johnson.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they were both there as well.
You got you and Dave Ross are sharing the same shirt for
me
some
and Dave?
Reason. That's odd.
Well, he's a fashion icon, that Dave Ross.
Biggest smile I've ever seen on Paul Howard's face.
he was very happy to be photographed there. Joe Pete is kind enough to join us for a second set. We talk prediction markets. And by the way, I went through some of the books that Joe has written. Really, I buried the headline with Joe. He's the head of gaming at Cantor Fitzgerald as well. Oh, by the way, went to Stanford's Graduate School of Business. I bring that last part up because you were saying this is you texted me yesterday. Stanford obviously hosting the University of Miami, and Joe texted me. What did you text me? Guess who the halftime show is? And the halftime show is who?
It is Bay Area superstar recording artist E-40, which
yeah!
would seem very incongruent with a Stanford football game. As I think I said to you, as incongruent as Anita Bryant playing at a Florida State-Miami game.
That's right. 40 Fonzarelli doing the halftime.
Gil's missing all his favorites. You missed E-40 earlier this summer.
I'm going to San Francisco on Friday. Maybe I'll... I don't know if I can...
Well, yeah, you're leaving Friday. You're going to miss your boy, Babyface, over at the Palms.
No, I am. That's
skipping out on him.
Don't get me started. All right, Joe. By the way, let me just compliment you on your talk at Bet Bash. I was not present, but I was privileged enough to get a video of it. You didn't seem nervous at all. Are you a public speaker? Like, are you super comfortable in those situations?
Post the book, my first book being published, when you have to go out and go on, the book tour circuit and then do endless radio hits and podcasts, I did get very comfortable speaking, which, you know, was a benefit. It's nice to hear you say that. I'm glad it comes off that way.
Yeah.
I have gotten good at even speaking without a script at all.
But, you know, I always say, like, radio hits are one thing. Being on air is one thing. I used to do summer jams, right? We'd have 25,000 people. That's another thing. You don't see faces, right? Just a sea of humanity. It's kind of easy. But when it's like 200 people or 150 people in a room or however many,
it's different.
That's different. Yeah. That's hard to me because I'm like, oh, God.
Nobody has ever characterized that better than Jerry Seinfeld, who in his old stand-up act used to say that if you ask, you know, whenever they do surveys, what's your biggest fear? The number two fear is fear of dying. And the number one fear is public speaking. Yeah. So as he says, that means you'd rather be in the box than giving the eulogy.
That's very true. Okay. For those listening, Joe, who are, you know, they're used to betting in sports books. They're used to using apps now as well. They hear about prediction markets. They hear about Polymarket, Kalshi, Novig, ProfitX. They hear about all this stuff. They're curious, but they haven't made the leap yet. Can you give us even beyond the elevator pitch, just sort of the pitch that you would give to sort of explain as simply as possible to folks, here's why you ought to consider it and then make the conversion to doing it?
Yeah, the first step is just the most basic step is the spreads are smaller, right? There's always an implied cost and an explicit cost no matter where you trade. On a sports book, there is no explicit cost. Just the implied cost is the spread, or let's call it a 20-cent spread on a normal -110, -110 game. When you pull up Kalshi or Polymarket, you know, or these other, let's just stick to those before we get to the sports native ones, you will see an implicit spread of simply 1%. You know, a game might be a toss-up game will be listed as 50-51. Now, there are explicit costs in there, and Kalshi is very good at hiding them, not making it, you know, difficult. It's difficult to unwind, but really it's a 12-cent line. If you are a taker, if you just cross the spread and take the offer or hit the bid, it's essentially a 12-cent spread. So no better than, say, Circa for baseball, but obviously it would be better for football. Now, at a Novig or Profit, it gets even better. For Novig, if we're just talking spread total money line, there are no explicit costs at all. And the only implicit cost is the spread. And you will see the spread is typically 1 cent or 2 cents. And now that they're in percent terms, they go to a 0.5%, right? So instead of a 1% spread, you know, their tightest market will add to 100.5. At Profit, there is a 2% explicit tax on winnings or fee on winnings, but their implicit costs can get even tighter because you can still, each one of their percentages go to two decimals so that it's set up. So it's exactly -101, -102, et cetera. So those same price points exist. So their tightest market is virtually locked because it would be 100 by -101 or 100 by +101. So just simply from a user standpoint, smaller transaction fees, which as we like to say, can never turn a losing bet into a winning bet, but you will lose less or win more on every single bet. That's the simple pitch. Now, it gets even better if you want to be a little more sophisticated. I don't know if you have any questions, I can go to the next sort of phase two of usage.
Yes, phase two.
Okay. So that is really, to me, the magic of prediction markets, or what a prediction market or exchange is. It is a mechanism to transfer wealth from the impatient person to the patient person. And that is where you can essentially turn your recreational bets into mildly plus EV bets by being a maker. So that when you go on a Novig or a Profit, and let's say you see a game that's about to be on TV and it looks, you know, let's say it's listed at -102, +102, right? Or -102, -102. Instead of paying -102, just go in there and place an order at +101. It will then show up as -101 on the other side. And I guarantee you, you are going to get matched on a popular game with a spread that tight. That's it. That's peer-to-peer, buddy. Now that is peer-to-peer, and you have the plus 101 or plus 102 or plus 103, whatever you're patient enough to put out there and wait. So it's not instantaneous. It's not a buy it now button, but it really can turn your, you know, like I say, it can turn every recreational bet into a mildly plus EV bet. That is the real utility of an exchange. And you're taking advantage of the person who just wants to cross the spread and get it done and say, oh, minus 103 is better than minus 110, so I'll just pay it. Well, if you're the plus 103, that's beautiful for you.
We're all familiar with CLV, closing line value. Elihu Foystel, with his pen name Simon Noble at Pinnacle, used to talk about, hey, you know, bookmakers online can often predict who's going to be successful, who's going to be not successful based on the rate at which you beat closing line value. People are familiar with that. You described at Bet Bash a way to sort of create it on prediction markets. Can you describe that for us?
Sure. And the topic sort of was, how has baseball betting changed over 15 years? And one thing I know you and I have talked about off air is how, from betting overnight lines today versus 15 years ago, how much less CLV is possible to obtain. The overnight lines are much sharper than they used to be 15 years ago, right? They've modeled it just like the sharpest bettors used to. So that type of CLV has shrunk. But what is available, again, if you're patient and you're dealing in markets that aren't super crowded by, say, professional market makers, right? But if you're doing strikeout props or touchdown props or home run props, one of the ways what you can do is put out two offers at plus 106 on each side. And if you get taken on one side, and again, this is a few hours before the game, then try to buy it back at even money. And if you do that, what I always say is if you have a $200 bet on one side that gets taken at plus 106, and then you get 100 of it back by being a maker at even money, your 100 left is now a plus 112 bet, right? And if that's CLV, if right, you've got 100 at, if you had 200 at plus 106 and then 100 on the other side at even money, you now have a net 100 at plus 112. Do that a few times on a market that's trading nicely, like a Paul Skene strikeout market, where you're going to get interest on both sides. And you can start that game with like a net position at plus 125, plus 130, you know, on a pick a market. That's CLV, right?
It's a beautiful thing. It's a very beautiful thing. That part at the end there, some people are going to hear that and be like, oh, I'm totally doing that. There's going to be some others who are like, okay, let's go back to the 101 stuff. That stuff really resonates, I think, with people. Well said, as articulated. None better does so than Joe Pita. Always appreciate it, Joe. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
We all get smarter every time you're on, Joe.
That's right.
For sure.
We really do. It's like Roxy used to say about Rufus. He goes, every time I talk to Rufus Peabody, he goes, I get a little smarter. Same thing with Joe. At Magic Rat SF, by the way, for Joe on Twitter. I don't believe I mentioned that here in this segment. We'll come back. We'll take a look around the NFL. We also have Jonathan Von Tobel joining us, Paul Spohr. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Unmatched transparency with records updated daily. It's the sharp plays. Check them out. AI betting analysis, real-time global betting info, alerts directly from the pros. Scan the QR code for Mo. Sharpplays.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Best listeners in the game. By the way, how's everybody enjoying SiriusXM Channel 189? Does it feel like a new car? No?
I rushed a couple segments ago to see what the old 189 was.
Oh, we have tweets about it.
Oh, we do? Well, I'll let you read them then.
Patrick Kelly. Hey, what the hell? I fire up SiriusXM to listen to Gil and Kelly, and I'm hearing Texarkana traffic and weather.
Oh, yeah. See, that's what's going to happen for our listeners, right? I was hoping we were going to invade a different audience.
Oh.
But unfortunately, this channel was just MLB play-by-play at night.
Oh, okay. You want to be a completely different demographic, completely different topic.
I wanted people losing their minds over hearing us. Being angry as hell.
For those of you expecting to hear Rachmaninoff's Concerto No. 5, Opus 3.
Exactly that.
Welcome to a numbers game. Now for something a little different. Chris Heath, I spent way too much time in settings on ProfitX trying to switch back to American odds yesterday. Wish I knew it was mandated. Yeah. By the way, Fezzik, can I just tell you, this is just such a window into Fezzik. Fezzik is on the group chat. No, he sees Novig's odds change. He's like, in typical Fezzik fashion, why would they be this dumb? Why would they change it to this? How could you be so stupid? I'm like, Steve, do you ever figure out that they might know more than you and that it was mandated? Oh.
You know, I didn't want to interrupt Joe there, but, you know, we always laugh about the sports fan mode on Kalshi.
Yeah.
So you can have it as long as you have it as like a secondary setting? Because Kalshi still has it. American Odds, I'm talking about.
Oh, they have a the toggle still?
You can still do the toggle to the sports fan mode.
Hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
I'm looking at it right now.
Huh. Maybe you just alerted the authorities.
Huh.
JSA723, I'm sorry, but are we sure Paolo Badosa is still on the must-watch list? Oh, you mean for that reason? What are you trying to say? What are you trying to say about her? James Fessler, I keep waiting for an El Oso or Estamos Seguros, but the Spanish simulcast is slacking. They also seem to be confusing your R&B references for musicals.
I said Que Pasa earlier.
What's this? Racines Musicales they got on there. Jason McKinney, I'm on holiday in Galveston. Is that where you went on holiday? That's where Charles Barkley sends the really bad NBA playoff teams?
Yeah.
Forget Cancun. Send them to Galveston with all that dirty water.
Galveston's got to be a party, though.
On holiday in Galveston, listening to y'all and watching the tropical storm blowing. Oh, man, be safe. I have noticed the show seems a little off. Are you missing a producer? Just kidding. Just wanted to give a shout out and hear Gil say, Danny, love of the show, and I can't wait to get back to Louisiana to make some month-long baseball bets. Jason, be careful out there, man. Tropical storm's no joke. By the way, did you see those?
Darno's trying to get me in trouble. I'll repeat what I said off air. Higgins has leveled up big time. Are you kidding me? He just sent the crew a picture of him like walking a dog this morning. He's moved to Montana. Girl, job with an office.
Girlfriend,
yeah, yes. Job with an office. I don't know about you. I've never had an office in my entire career.
No, I don't know what that is.
Office, house, dog.
He's like a real human being.
It's like a real human life.
Oh, man. Kyle D at Dom_Corleone28. I know the Browns quarterback situation is absolutely booty, but I'm getting more Vietnam flashbacks to my Packers pick last year when they tied against the Cowboys. I can see the Browns D coming out of the gates ready to prove they don't need Miles to win. Me too, Kyle D. Me too.
It could be. I saw Cleve tweeting about the Jags yesterday. I was wondering if he was listening to us or not.
Cleve, let's get Cleve on this week, Thursday.
That's a good call.
Bang. Done.
Cleve. I was wondering, it was one of those some great tweets about the Jags and how there's a little too much love week one. I was like, I wonder if you just heard me talk about my three teasers where I tied the Jags into.
You know what I have to do before his appearance on Thursday? Play around with the Survivor tool on his site.
It's great.
It's fantastic. He's added some stuff there too. If you want to play the optimal way with Survivor. By the way, funniest part of the US Open yesterday, you see the video of Emma Navarro having beaten Loïs Boisson.
It's not even funny.
The angle is of Navarro having just shaken the hand of the umpire, turning back to the crowd to clap to the crowd. And in the background, Loïs Boisson just pulverizing her racket on the ground over and over.
But this is okay. So isn't
so
this
great
for a tennis better and a golf better?
Yes, sir.
Isn't that exactly how you want, especially if you're betting on the person, but just anybody you're rooting for? Isn't how Boisson?
Yeah.
Apologies for my French accent. Boisson, isn't that exactly how you want them to act? Because she shook her hand, right? She did the full class act right after the match, got out of the way and let her celebrate, but just in the background is going crazy.
I mean, we've seen Daniil Medvedev do it even worse than that.
Yeah, but that's what I want you to act classy, right? When Scottie Scheffler sinks that putt, go shake his hand, and then you go find a private-ish area.
There's no privacy.
She got out of, she was trying to get out of the camera shot.
It was just all about the camera shot. It was the perfect juxtaposition.
Because
Emma Navarro she had no idea what was happening behind her. She's like, oh, thank you, everybody.
Jordan Spieth, you could get me back on board if you just acted like go beat the crap out of a trash can after you act like a class act.
Odds really haven't changed much. U.S. Open, men's and women's, by the way. Aryna Sabalenka is your short shot at +320. Coco is 4. Wow, Coco is shorter than Iga. What are we doing there? Iga's +550. I'm surprised Iga's still +550. And then Jesse Pegula starting the double digit parade after that at 10-1. Hasn't really changed much. Again, I have Iga 7-1. Iga, like she was double parked outside yesterday in her opening round match against Wang Ziyu. Can we just talk about this one football thing real quick here?
Yeah, I got a couple. I got a couple news items I want to throw at you.
We got to start with the Atlanta Falcons.
Yes.
Do you realize they are non-committal on starting quarterback still?
Okay. Do we believe that, or is this week one we're keeping it quiet?
Great question. I thought about that myself. Regardless of what the answer to that question is, it is still. The only thing that you can glean from it is that Tua might have had one of the worst camps and preseasons ever then.
Oh, totally. I mean,
because there is no way he wouldn't be the starting quarterback if he showed anything. Because, Michael Penix, by the way, for those who don't know, Michael Penix Jr. was in fact cleared, right? He was in fact cleared recently to return to practice after recovering from his knee injury in 2025. And, you know, Tagovailoa at the best had the best way you can characterize it is an up and down camp. That's being generous.
Oh, I'm trying to pull up the Rappaport quote.
But the whole time we were going through who's going to start the first week, who's going to take the first snap, those markets that were at random locations, it was like the only way to play this is to start Tua, right? Mm-hmm. And then if the veteran messes up, then you can go to Michael Penix Jr. You can't do it the other way, because if Michael Penix Jr. messes up, you might affect his confidence if you take him out of the game. So, or out of the starting lineup. So it's just a pretty amazing situation with Kevin Stefanski. By the way, the only other two quarterbacks on their roster, they've kept four, Cooper Rush and Jack Strand on the roster as well. Jack Strand, you ask? Yes, Minnesota State, Moorhead Dragons.
It's beyond fascinating. The Rappaport quote from like last week of basically Tua's play has basically made it impossible for them to start him.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that was what he said a week ago.
He's given them nothing. That's the only thing you can glean from this. So whether Stefanski is doing it purposefully or not is a separate question. It's almost incidental.
I do think it's that. I do think it's two things can be going on at once, right? They might be trying to do gamesmanship, but I think Rappaport's reporting is true. I think there's probably real debate there. And maybe, look, maybe it is what we thought all along. It's Tua starts the season, but maybe combined with Penix's health getting better, right? The leash is even shorter now than it was before. By the way, Kelce still has this up limited volume that's been traded here, but it is Tua minus 126 to start week one.
I mean, that's
Penix plus 105.
I mean, flip a coin almost.
Right, flip a coin. So it's not like there's insider information that's out there right now.
They're at the Steelers and they're home against the Panthers to start the season. It's not the hardest hoe of it, right?
Man, you really don't want to start 0-2, but you could.
Well, if you start 0-2 with those two games, oh boy. I'm just saying, if Tua had given them anything, it would have been very easy for Stefanski to just say, hey, look, you know, Penix, I get he's cleared. He's still coming back from injury. Why rush it? Tua, we signed Tua for a reason. Everybody kind of knows that's the way we were going with this. Here you go. But at this point, he's like, yeah, I don't really know. That's not good. Not good.
Do you have any strong feelings on the NFC South in general?
Nope.
Because this would be, I haven't bet it. I think Will has, but it would still be Falcons at that long shot price or nothing. If they get anything out of the quarterback position, we've rushed to kill these guys. We have seen glimpses of good play out of Tua Tagovailoa over his career.
Yeah.
And then he got concussed 17 times. Michael Penix Jr., we're kind of still waiting to see. I don't think we've seen enough to say he's a bust, right?
Well, we don't know if he's good either.
Yeah, you get anything out of that. Like, the skill position's great. I think the defense is, I don't think it's terrible. 4-1, that's who I would be playing, but no bet.
17 concussions, not a researched number by Kelly Bidlin?
No, not at all.
Jonathan Von Tobel, college football, and more next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, they've started tennis at the U.S. Open. Last day of the first round. We have one player in action right now. Alina Korneva is a big dog against Maddie Keys. They've just started with Keys serving. So we got some tennis firing up. Deuce.
How did tickets work for the U.S. Open? You have to buy by match, or is it like sessions?
Oh, don't ask me that.
Okay.
It's sessions.
I would assume you get more than a match, right?
Yeah, it's not match by match. It's sessions.
Well, you were just commenting off air. Plenty of seats available right now. That's what I was wondering.
Expensivo.
Yeah, that part I've heard.
Do you know how much money the U.S. Open makes? You know how much they net?
$1.7 million a year.
Are you joking?
I have no idea what to guess a tennis tournament brings in.
No, this specific tennis tournament.
Yeah.
Generates roughly.
And who do they generate money for? Themselves?
This is two weeks of tennis. They generate roughly between $560 to $620 million in annual operating revenue.
I don't know what all that means, though. Like, that's not just ticket costs, right? So what, I mean, it's not the whole deal.
Merch, everything.
But that's just like tickets, merch, stuff that's done there on location.
It's the USTA's primary financial engine, single-handedly accounting for 90% of the USTA's total annual income. And that revenue breakdown is tickets are the most.
Is that TV rights?
Tickets are the most. Broadcast rights, okay, second. Right. Sponsorships, third. Corporate hospitality services, fourth.
I'm actually surprised tickets beats out TV money.
Where does the money go? Player compensation, infrastructure renovations, grassroots tennis.
They didn't mention charity? You always got to mention charity.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jonathan Von Tobel joins us. He is the co-host of Money Moves, which you can find on this network every Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. He co-hosts it with Stormy Bonnetoni. JVT joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at MeJVT. What's happening, John? How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Feeling pretty good. I'm hungry, I guess, if you guys really care about how I'm feeling right now. So I'm looking forward to eating some breakfast in a little bit. But feeling good.
What do you think you're going to get?
It's boring. I eat the same thing every time. I had 170 grams of Greek yogurt right before I came on here with a little bit of honey mixed in, two pieces of Dave's Killer Bread, and then I will now go and make 12 tablespoons of egg whites with two whole eggs and slam that down. See, put a little Parmesan cheese in
there. He so wanted me to ask that question.
Yes, he did. This is also where JVT's next level for me, because I don't even think I told you this. A couple months ago, I was like, all right, I'm going to buckle down a little bit more here. Egg whites, buying egg whites. Made egg whites for the first time in like years, or tasted them for the first time. No, right in the trash. Never again. There's certain things I'm drawing the line at. It's
Kelly,
that egg whites.
I kind of dig egg whites.
You assume that I enjoy the taste. I just shovel it down. I don't even taste it. It is fuel for the body. This is a car, and that is the gasoline, and that is what. That's all it is. That's all it's there for.
Good on you.
Hey, real quick before we get to college football, how's the VEASAN flag football team coming along?
Falling apart.
Well, our quarterback moved to Montana. I don't know if you heard.
That's right.
And there might be a rift forming in the studio, actually. So Fenhouse, one of our behind the scenes guys, I will bring everything out front, because if you tell me, then I'm just going to, it's content. Sorry, guys. I guess Fenhouse was offended that he was not invited to the team, which I didn't know he wasn't invited.
He got offended when I brought donuts for the crew the other day. And I was like, hey, you want a donut? He's like, what does that mean?
Oh, man.
Deep-seated issues for Fenhouse there. But I would say that I guess Fenhouse was so offended the other day that he then challenged Justin, our producer, to a race up the stairs behind the scenes.
Oh, my.
Which then led to Justin beating him in said race, and then subsequently sending a challenge to Justin saying, my flag football team will beat your flag football team. Wow. And I woke up to a text message about this at like from like 10 o'clock at night. And I'm like, guys, I'm 35 and I'm sleeping. Like, I don't get like... solve these beefs somewhere else. We're not going to have like a flag football civil war like in the VEASAN studio. It's insane.
Also, Danny's gone. I officially resign. I resigned from the team.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yes. Kelly was one of our most ardent members. He was there every time. Yeah. Sad to see. Yeah.
Let's get to real football. What did you? Owen Wright.
Yeah.
My little nephew. He refused to play flag football as a child. He's like, it's fake football, Uncle Gil. I'm not playing it. I was like, all right, cool. Okay. Did you learn anything from week zero? Let's start there.
I mean, I think that we learned that, like, we'll go through these quick, like Memphis, legitimate, like group of six, potential CFP contender if they get through the American. I kind of figured that UNLV Memphis game was a CFP eliminator of sorts. So I don't think it was surprising to see that people are now kind of catching on to that. I think that we learned that North Carolina is a competent defensive team. And this is what, because I was on North Carolina in that game, Gil, and I think one of the things that I kept bringing up, go back to last year, UNC found itself in some low scoring one score losses because it was just a good enough defensive team. And I think Belichick still has that fastball when it comes to improving a defensive unit, making them either competent or average or whatever term you want to use. And I think that the defensive line is pretty good. And I think UNC is going to be one of those teams. And by the way, Bobby Petrino kind of still has his fastball too. Like, he can coach offense. And I think that this team's going to be a little bit better than what perception is. I think Virginia's legitimately good, but I do have my questions about the sustainability of that beatdown. Guys, they threw the ball 11 times. They converted all four of their fourth downs, and they still like put the beatdown on on NC State. I think they're good, but I still have my questions about Bo Pribble in some of the games where that running game isn't going as well, and he's got to sit back and throw the ball, I don't know, 12 times instead of 11. I think there might be a couple of games there this year that's going to happen. So I don't think there were any like massive sweeping takeaways, but I do think there's a couple of things you can spin forward here for these next couple of weeks. But I think UNC maybe being a bet on team for the most part, unless the market really adjusts its perception of that group, I think is one of those I'll carry with me for a while.
Only thing that I have a slight disagreement on is maybe the North Carolina defense, because I do think like Jaden Craig was so inaccurate and missed so many huge plays, I thought, that would have been huge chunks of yardage, and our brain just kind of purges that. But we'll see. Time will tell on all this stuff. You have a quartet of picks here, beginning with a spectacular first half team total under. Explain.
Yeah, so NIU making the transition over to the Mountain West. So this is where that comes from, right? I've got a depth of Mountain West knowledge from writing the guide. But I think Northern Illinois is going to be really, really bad. For those who don't know, in February, their head coach, Thomas Hammack, decided to leave to coach the running backs for the Seattle Seahawks. So they have an interim coach right now. Their former defensive coordinator, Rob Harley, is now taking over in the interim. There was a mass exodus of guys. Like, all of these dudes are gone. And it's funny, you read little blog posts here and there, and you keep seeing these little smatterings of mentions of the time they went out to Notre Dame and pulled an upset. This is not that same team in any way, shape, or form. I think this team is going to be really, really bad. And I kind of think Harley set up for failure for the most part is one of the ways that I kind of set this thing up in the guide. The defense is rebuilding, so I think when you go out to take on Iowa with a team that is largely built with JUCOs and transfers from like FCS level, like I think this is going to be a very, very poor performance for Northern Illinois. But instead of maybe getting burned by like what San Jose State did over the weekend, which is score a bunch of points in garbage time against USC's third stringers, I'm just going to go with the first half team total under 2.5. I largely expect this Huskies offense to be one of the worst in the Mountain West. And so going out there, getting the full bore effort of the first and second stringers against Iowa, I think it's going to be a pretty rough first half for this group. I wouldn't say no to the 6.5 for the game, but again, I don't want to run the risk of garbage time Iowa letting the foot off the gas and give it up like some easy points or whatever it is. But I do think they're going to get stifled here. So that's the theory. We're going to go with Northern Illinois first half team total under 2.5 at plus 105.
Love it. Hawaii loses Stanford. Not only do they lose, they don't cover in the end on the scoop and score. And then your UNLV Rebels lose to Memphis. Hawaii's playing UNLV. What do you have here?
So I think this is going to be a theme for me, unless I feel like the market's made a little bit of a change. I think the market's too high on UNLV. I grabbed 6.5 at one point with UNLV against Memphis. They close as like 4, 4.5, and they ultimately don't get there and lose outright. And then, Gil, here we are. The original number for this was UNLV minus 1.5. What did you see last week that makes you think, you know what, this should be actually a key number here on the road against Hawaii? It's a big rivalry spot for those who don't know. They play for the Golden Pineapple. I would also say, too, remember, UNLV's starting center got rolled up on and his ankle hurt. As of now, I haven't seen what the MRIs are, but I don't think he is going to play this week. Their offensive line was abysmal. They couldn't run block. They couldn't pass block. I just don't think that anything we saw from last week said, you know what, we're going to put up a 3 here. You can hold out, wait for 3.5, but I think taking 3 is perfectly fine, and I don't think it's going to get to that 3.5, so give me Hawaii at home.
Last two, Central Michigan, New Mexico, UCLA, and Cal. Yeah. What do you have on these?
Yeah, I'll do real quick. Central Michigan, I just like the way they run their offense. Got like some Army principles to it. They run the ball really, really well. I still have my questions about New Mexico, especially on defense. They did not do well in the role of favorites last year. You've got a three-headed monster, I guess you want to call it, at quarterback because Jack Lane injured his elbow and he's still not recovered, so you don't know who's going to play there. And then for Cal, I just like this Cal team. I think Jaren Calais-Sanga-Pulatelli is going to be the first overall pick when he comes out in the NFL draft. I think that they've invested a lot in this team from an NIL perspective, and they're better than what they're giving credit for. Give me Cal to win outright as a small dog at home.
There it is. Jonathan Montobel with flag football strife navigating through that. You're right. Our quarterback did leave for Montana. And by our, I mean VSiN's quarterback, Danny Higgins. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. We'll tune in with you and Stormy later today.
See you in a little bit, guys.
2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific for Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni and Jonathan Montobel. Still to come. Oh, how about some division last place finishes in Major League Baseball? Why don't we take a gander at that? We'll do that next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.